Hi, you're tuning into the 8th episode of ¿Qué Dijo? The unapologetically queer Latino podcast where no topic is off limits. I'm your host, Eric, and in this episode, this is going to be part two of the Horror is Queer miniseries where we are analyzing classic horror films and finding the gay subtext in them. In part one, we covered Child's Play, The Exorcist, Silence of the Lambs, Jeepers Creepers, and Scream. So if you're interested in hearing about those movies, make sure you go back and listen to that episode, or else you're a hater. In this episode, we are finding the queer subtext in horror films you guys voted for on social media, which were Saw, Insidious, It, Carrie, Friday the 13th. Stay tuned!
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, babe.
Hi, my love. How are you?
I'm doing good. I see you have a costume change.
Yeah. So I wanted to do Chucky. Coincidentally, they're like, the Chucky was on the first one and then Carrie is in the second.
Oh, yeah. That's true. You just switched it.
Yeah. But it's okay.
You got to switch it up on these hoes.
It's fine. Exactly. It's fine. Okay. So today we're doing part two and we're going to analyze the next movies.
The next set of movies.
Yes. And Raul's going to tell me why he thinks the movies are queer.
Yeah, for sure. They're all gay. I mean, do you have any comments from the last episode? I mean, I was surprised you kind of agreed with me on all of them.
Yeah, I thought I was going to disagree with you, but you made some good points.
Okay.
So I'm not going to lie. I'm a little digmatized.
You're digmatized? So my dick is the reason why you agreed with me.
Just kidding.
I'm just kidding. Cool. Okay. So do you want to explain like the rules before we get into them?
Yeah. So I'm going to say the prologue? What is it called? The log line of each movie. And then after that, Raul has 3 minutes to tell me why he thinks the movie has queer subtext in it. And then after the 3 minutes, we're going to discuss for 2 minutes and then we're going to fucking move on. We're not going to go over the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. And if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. Okay, so the first movie you guys voted for is Saw. It's about two strangers who awaken in a room with no recollection of how they got there and soon discover they're pawns in a deadly game perpetrated by a notorious serial killer. You have 3 minutes to gay this movie, Raul. Ready? Go.
Okay, so the first movie we're going to talk about is Saw. So I saw the discourse online says that Jigsaw is actually a queer-coded gay man who is very vengeful, probably a Scorpio, and that he's repressed, closeted, and a spiteful queen. So as you know, throughout the movie, Jigsaw kidnaps people and forces them to play his twisted games. Uh-huh. In the movie, we see that he likes to watch his male victims through a peephole, and they are often completely nude and greased up in oil, like the man who has to walk through the or go through the razor wire, or the man who gets set on fire.
He's
watching them through a peephole in the wall. So you could possibly say that Jigsaw is a voyeur, which is someone who gains sexual pleasure from watching others naked without them knowing. So he could be gay in that sense. So Jigsaw also has the strange belief that by testing his victims and putting them through all this trauma and insulting them on the tape, he could read a bitch down on those tapes. He thinks that's going to make them fall in love with him. Perhaps something in his past has made him feel neglected and outcasted. And in his sick mind, these twisted games are the only way, if they survive them, that people can follow him and worship him. So his present victims are Lawrence and Adam. He chains them up and locks them in what looks like a bathhouse. So, gay. Yeah, he's also making them spend a lot of time together. He's making them get close and personal. You know, maybe he thinks that they'll get attached through all this trauma. And maybe Jigsaw could be a third. Who knows? Anyways, throughout the movie, we see flashbacks. And we learn that Jigsaw actually made Adam secretly follow Lawrence and take pictures of him. Why? Yeah, maybe Jigsaw wanted the intel of where Lawrence is that so he can kidnap him for his game, or maybe he wanted Adam to start getting familiar with Lawrence and admire him from a distance. Plus, Jigsaw wanting pictures of Lawrence and having someone stalk him for him and getting those pictures. Come on. Jigsaw was obsessed with Dr. Gordon.
In love with him.
Exactly. So the game continues. There's a twist and turns and all that good shit. And we reach the climax of the movie where Lawrence finally escapes the chains by sawing off his own foot. We see a really intimate, tender moment between Adam and Lawrence where they're face to face. Their foreheads are touching. They're crying in each other's arms. And Lawrence is consoling Adam.
30 seconds.
Okay. Lawrence is consoling Adam and promising to get help. And it looks like a scene from like Gay Titanic. Like, come back. I'll get help. I promise. So anyways, Jigsaw, we find out that Jigsaw was in the room with him the whole time. He's laying still. He was the dead body on the floor. And we see Jigsaw stretching and moaning and all fours arching his back. Like, if you go back and watch that scene, it looks pretty seductive. Jigsaw's a power bottom and showing his hole. So, where am I on time?
You're done.
Okay. Woo! Okay. I had a couple more things, but whatever. Anyways, go ahead.
Oh my God. Talking about the stretching, you remind me of Chris Hemsworth when he does those fucking stretches.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The
okay. Wait, 2 minutes ago.
Yes. You know what's funny? I wrote a comment and when I was writing notes, I put that it looked like a bathhouse.
Yeah.
But I was just joking. I didn't think it was a serious thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed that when Jigsaw does a thing and like the cops find the bodies, they're always naked.
Yeah.
Or shirtless, which makes so much sense. And then the people thing, I was like, fucking sick fuck.
Yeah. And like, it's very homoerotic the way that he like kidnaps his victims. They're all naked. Like, obviously he did that.
Yeah.
So it's like he has to touch these bodies. And who knows? Maybe he could be a repressed, you know, queen and he's, you know.
Benchful. Oh my God, he's like the second Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the same thing.
He's repressed and he's killing all these people because he wasn't able to live out his, you know, gay shit.
You know what's crazy too? In the new series, The Dahmer with Evan Peters, Jeffrey Dahmer's watching Saw in the background.
Shut up.
He likes the movie Saw.
Wait, doesn't Jeffrey Dahmer take place in the 70s, 80s? So how's he watching Saw?
Were you watching Saw on your phone or was it?
Huh?
Were you watching Saw on your phone or was it the TV show? Because I thought I heard in the background like something like the Saw song.
Am I tripping? I think I was watching Saw. I was watching Saw on the computer.
Oh, okay. Then.
Anyway, we're spending 2 minutes.
I know. Sorry. But yeah, you made your point. Yes, I think it is gay.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah, he could be. I think he could be a queer-coded man. I can see that.
The guy that was laying down was him?
Yeah, he was the one at the end. He was the dead body in the room with him.
And he was wearing boxers.
And he was wearing boxers in front of them. Yeah, he's listening to these men get clothes at the end. I'm telling you, go back and watch that scene and watch him when he gets up because he was laying still for so long. His body was like, he needed to stretch. And he was like, and Adam was like, his mouth was dropped the whole time while he was watching.
Yeah, 2 minutes them.
Okay, great.
Next. All right, so the next film is Insidious. It's about a family looking to prevent evil spirits from trapping their comatose child in a realm called the Further. Okay, 3 minutes on the clock. Start now!
Oh my God, okay. I wish I could have talked about this part of queer theory in the first part of this episode, but I'll do it right now. So bear with me here. So the word queer is often an umbrella term for anyone or anything that is outside of heteronormative culture. So in heteronormative, you know, quote unquote, normal culture, there's these binaries, you know, a right and a wrong way to do things. And the word queer refers to anyone that challenges or disrupts that. Mm-hmm. So we normally hear about people being queer, but I found this scholar who wrote a scholarly article on Insidious and argues that time itself can be queer. So say like you're sitting around a table eating dinner, everyone is making polite conversation and being proper around the family, or whether you're out in public, etc., etc. That's considered heteronormative time, normal time, where people are being normal. And apparently to the heteros, this is the, you know, supposedly the original and the only time. So it's a time where there's binaries, rules, and a right and a wrong way to act. Uh-huh. And queer time is time that rejects those binaries and disrupts the heteronormative time. So for example, going to a drag show, ballroom, or say we're having dinner and I walk in with a dinosaur suit. That's camp. That's queer. So queer time. So horror is queer because all of these crazy scenarios in horror disrupt heteronormative time. Insidious, the ghosts and the demons disrupt and break down the straight family in their home, who are living the American dream with their nice house and kids and and shit. And I think that's why us LGBT people love to watch horror, because we see the heteronormativity being dismantled in front of us. So anyways, in Insidious, you have ghosts and they're considered queer because they're outside of heteronormativity. They're forcing queer time on this family by haunting them and disrupting their heteronormative time. So also in Insidious, you have a son who is special. He's different from heteronormative culture because he could speak to ghosts. So he's disrupting the norm there. And in a way, he's considered queer because he's different. And he's also considered a traveler between two realities, the human world and the spirit world. Or as this scholar likes to say, the ghosts are queer. Since the ghosts are queer, the kid travels between heteronormative time and queer time. And again, it's considered queer time because in the ghost world, it's different from the heteronormative one.
God, yeah.
Plus, you know, the kid's different.
You have 30 seconds.
He's special. He communicates with ghosts and travels between two realities. That's queer. Us queer people and LGBT people, we know all about being different and navigating two realities and living between the straight and the gay world. So that's some of the ways Insidious is queer. The disruption of the nuclear family in their heteronormative time, the son being different, traveling between different realities, just like LGBT people do. Dang, I got through all of it. I'm so happy.
Yes. You missed something. We'll discuss that right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
2 minutes.
So I read something about the Bride in Black is actually a man named Barker Crane, and he's a serial killer who was abused by his mother for acting too male.
Oh, really?
And when he murders women, he murders women dressed as a woman.
I didn't even get that. Oh,
my God. He's gender confused.
Oh, you're right. There is a... Wait, is that in Insidious 2 or 1?
The first one.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I missed that. Shit.
And the writer, I was reading the article and the writer wrote that this was a non-male intent, but writers should be aware of the emotional damage this can cause to the trans community.
Of course.
Meaning that this movie made the killer, he's looking for his identity and he's trans, but why is it that always in film trans people are or violent. The killers are violent?
Yeah, it's like what we said about Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah,
okay,
it just portrays like an image of like transsexual people in a wrong way.
Oh, okay. Wow, I'm surprised I missed that in my research. Wow.
Yeah, I was reading about that. I was like, oh shit. And then you were talking about all this and I was like, I didn't even know that either, because I was, see, the more you know.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Well, if you say the demon is kind of queer coded in that he's like in his gender expression and trying to figure out what his identity is. And that's definitely queer. And definitely what I said about like the little boy, how he's different, travels between different realities. That's something that us queer people, like, that's what we do. And that's why it resonates with us so much.
Also, too, I read at the end of the movie, I have to go back because I don't remember. But at the end of the movie, he actually cuts off the story, talks about him cutting off his male genitalia.
Oh, shit. So really?
He transforms into a woman.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Dang. I'm surprised I missed that. Wow. What the fuck?
Yeah. I was like, wow, bro. Come on. You missed like the biggest part here.
I know. Well, I'm glad you did your research, because then now the audience gets to hear, you know, more queer shit that in that movie.
Yeah. Alrighty. So next movie.
2 minutes up.
2 minutes is up. We're doing pretty good. Hold on. Let me open this. A little fan break.
Got to open up that beer there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Horror and alcohol.
Yeah.
Being a horror, talking about horror movies and alcohol.
Yeah. That's so crazy. I was having a hard time with Insidious because I didn't know what you were telling me.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, queer time, I was like, when I was reading about it, I was really fascinated, like, about queer time. And like that article that I mentioned is 70 pages long, and they go into like all these different movies and why they're queer, because they disrupt family. Anyways, but yeah.
Remember, I also told you that in the second movie, they go back in time and they show you everything that happened in the first movie. But the dad in the movie, I don't know what his name is. He's actually possessed by the demon. So he is disrupting heterosexual time.
Yeah.
Because he's the one causing all these things, but he's inside the body.
Exactly. Like, I think in heteronormative culture, the man is the provider, the supporter, the one who takes care of his family. And by him being possessed and being the demon, he's disrupting like the heteronormative norms of the father, you know, the father figure. And that's queer. You're disrupting, you know, the norms.
I love it. Okay. So the next movie is Carrie, right? We're doing Carrie?
No, It.
Okay. It. Oh, my favorite movie. I'm so excited. Okay. So the next movie we're doing is It. The logline reads, in the summer of 1989, a group of bullied kids band together to destroy a shape-shifting monster, which disguises itself as a clown and preys on the children of Derry, which is the name of their small town in Maine. And you have 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Okay, so this one's pretty easy. The writer of the book, Stephen King, and the director of the movie, Andy Muschietti, have confirmed that queer codes, subtext, themes, and queer characters are in the film. So let's get started. You have kids who are outcasted in school and at home. They hate their parents, they're ignored, they're bullied at school, they're constantly called homophobic slurs like dyke, fag, etc., etc. Come on, that is the gay struggle. We know about that. Yeah. You also have Eddie, who is obviously gay, repressed, and in the closet. He has an overbearing mom. We already talked about mommy issues and how that's a stereotype amongst gay men. And the mom tells him he's sick and wants to shield him from sickness. So, which is kind of symbolic to how parents see our gayness as a disease that needs to be cured or fixed. So you also, in the movie, you have Eddie and his friend Richie. Richie is that comedic relief guy with the foul mouth. He's the guy with the glasses, little boy. Eddie and Richie are both in love with each other. They have that schoolyard crush where they tease and hit each other because they're secretly in love with each other. And in It Chapter 2, it's confirmed that they loved each other. And there's even a subplot about their relationship. And it ends with adult Richie mourning Eddie because he never acted out on his love.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I remember that.
Right. So, people are also saying Eddie most likely never acted on his sexual desires due to that internalized homophobia and that fear that was planted into his head that all gays are dirty and can get AIDS.
Uh-huh.
Because in chapter two, in It Chapter 2, the movie, you have a gay couple that's killed in the beginning of the film. A lot of people thought it was for no reason, but it's actually establishing the homophobic environment of this town, Derry. And explains why Eddie and Richie could not act out on their love for each other. So do I need to go on? The movie is gay. How much time do I have?
Yeah, you have 30 seconds.
30 seconds? Okay, well, we can cut it here. I think I made my case. What do
Yay!
You
think?
So 2 minutes to discuss starting now. What do you think?
Oh my God. Obviously, that movie is so fucking gay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so believable because Derry is like this small town and
they're
very conservative and they're very homophobic. And I remember watching It Too with you and it was so sad watching that.
Yeah.
It was so real.
Yeah.
I mean, I never got like I got bullied, but I never got beat up like hardcore. Yeah. But that was sad. And then his fucking man dies. And then
I personally think that it should have been a little bit more queer. When we saw the movie, I was like, they are together. Oh yeah, they do fall in love. Oh, I think they could have I think they could have made it a little bit more obvious and and instead of a little queer coding it.
I thought it was gay for some reason.
Yeah. He's gay too. I mean, he could be queer coded. He's flamboyant. Uh-huh. You know, he's dancing, the costume, the makeup. I mean, he could be queer coded too.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Why not? That.
But yeah, there were some gay subtext in it for sure.
For sure. Subtext under the surface and in your face. Especially with their relationship at the end and them confirming that they were actually in love with each other. So,
you know what's so crazy is that I love when there's queer stuff in horror films. Mm-hmm. But when we started watching part two, I was so excited and I was like, oh my God, there's a gay couple. Yeah. Yay.
And they kill us off.
And then they fucking kill us off like they do all the movies.
They do. That's constantly happens in media. Yeah. We're always killed off.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you give me my moment?
We're either killed off or considered villains.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're they queer code monsters and villains a lot in movies, and that's kind of toxic.
Oh my God. We should make horror films about heterosexuals being
Oh, yeah. I'm writing a script about it. I'm going to do it. I already know how I would write it.
Yes. Okay. So we got 152. We're good.
Okay. I think we're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Alrighty, so the fourth movie is Carrie. And it's about a shy, friendless teenage girl named Carrie White who is sheltered by her domineering religious mother and unleashes her telekinetic powers after being humiliated by her classmates at her senior prom. You have 3 minutes on the clock. Ready? Go.
Okay, so my God, this movie is so obviously gay. It's queer, it's lesbian, it's all the fucking above. I'm surprised people voted for this movie and for us to find the gay subtext of this because I'm like, come on, give me a challenge. but anyways, you have Carrie. She's an outcasted woman coming into her womanhood, her femininity, discovering her identity, trying to fit in, and just wanting the agency to be her own woman. And then you have her salt and brimstone, Bible-thumping mother shoving religion down her throat, Carrie's throat specifically. And whenever Carrie starts to, you know, love herself, ask for things, and even have her period, her mom slut-shames her. You know, she abuses her, calls her a sinner, and forcefully drags her by the hair, and I'm quoting the mom here, to go back into the closet and pray. This is so gay. It's obviously like, go back in the closet and pray. It's so obviously like, this is queer coded, and it's a commentary on queer people who are, you know, coming into their own identity, and the religious freaks who want to shove religion down our throats and tell us to pray away the gay. So you know, the mother is shoving Carrie back in the closet and telling her to pray. Come on, like, that's, I know a lot of gay people out there I know a lot of gay people out there with religious parents can relate to this film so much. Carrie is also queer in that she is outcasted from for being different than heteronormative culture. She's bullied, called names at school, and when she fucking finally gets her moment of glory and becomes the prom queen, she is humiliated by her bullies when they pour pig's blood all over her in front of everyone. So I'm telling you, homophobic straights don't like to see us rise in the world. They hate they hate to see us be proud and happy and have self-love for ourselves. So that's definitely what we're seeing played out here in this movie. So and then when she's enough of everyone's bullshit, she fucking kills everyone who's wronged her and bullied her and all that shit, even her own mother. So, girl, if that isn't gay revenge at the end of Carrie, I don't know what is.
I love that end of the movie.
That's it. That's all I got.
Wow, you did good. 2:15.
2 minutes and 15 seconds. All right. I don't need the whole three. All right. So let's chat about it for 2 minutes.
All right. Go.
And go. What did you think?
Alrighty. So I did agree on the closet thing. I was reading this article that said that I think that Carrie identifies with queers because Carrie challenges the oppressive nature of her mother. Like you said, she also sets herself apart from her peers because she's different, aka she might be a lesbian.
Yeah.
And she is self-discovering and finding her identity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I touched on that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Also, when she looks in the mirror, there's this part when she looks in the mirror and she's not happy and it shatters, which is alluding to her not being happy with her appearance and circumstances she was forced into.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, there's a lot of mirrors, a theme in a lot of, you know, coming of age movies and people trying to figure out their identity. Mirror is often symbolism for people who are just trying to figure themselves out and look inward.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that you brought the mirror.
Also, Carrie's complex relationship with religion is a big thing too. And her mother has raised her to believe that Satan is manipulating her into doing bad things.
Yeah, it just speaks on like a lot of things that a lot of queer people are told. Mm. And, you know, you're going to go to hell. The devil's inside of you. You're letting the devil win when you're gay. And I think it speaks to a lot of the complicated, you know, relationship us queer people have with religion. So yeah, for sure. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And one more point. I also put the closet thing because I thought it was like,
it's so obvious.
I don't want to go back in the closet.
She's fucking forcing her in the closet. Come on.
Yeah. I'm like, it's too dark in there. I want to get out.
Yeah, I want to get out.
Also, when Carrie is at the frame, you know, the frame of the kitchen when she's talking to her mom in the beginning of the movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of the kitchen, she looks as though she is confessing her sins.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she begins to realize she has a power and defends her identity and stands up for herself. These are just a couple notes that I wrote. But when she looks like she's...
2 minutes.
Oh, that was good. Okay.
I cut you off, bitch. Like, you cut me off. No, good job. Good job. I agree with all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty. Carrie's gay. Carrie's fucking gay.
So the last movie is Friday the 13th, which we just watched today. And I loved it.
Yeah, that's great.
It's about a group of camp counselors trying to reopen a summer camp with a grim past called Crystal Lake and are stalked by a mysterious killer. I don't think I've watched that movie, Roll.
Really? You never watched Friday the 13th?
I don't think I have. I watched the other ones, like Freddy versus Jason. Like,
okay.
Freddy versus Jason and like the guy from Jason. Yeah, Freddy versus Jason.
The remakes and stuff.
Yeah, but I've never watched this one.
Wow. Yeah, we just rewatched it.
And I saw Kevin bacon and eggs. And
wow, you took my joke. I was going to say that.
Wow. For real?
Yes, I was going to say that in my analysis. Ugh, whatever, let's get started.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you have 3 minutes on the clock. Ready, go.
Okay. Is it starting? Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Okay. So as we know, exploring your sexuality in horror films is forbidden, and it's definitely present in Friday the 13th. Here you have a bunch of young, horny adults alone in the woods, away from their usual heteronormative culture, embracing their youth and exploring their sexuality. You have men with their shirts off, parading their slutty ass shorts. You know, they wear Speedos at the river, showing off their junk. We saw Kevin's bacon and eggs. In that Speedo, you know, jumping up and down, and he was running. You know, that was for us gay men. We're watching the movie, you know, a little treat for us to see Kevin Bacon's, you know, bulge there. So there's even a scene in the movie where Brenda initiates playing strip Monopoly, and they all agree to play, and they all want to see each other naked. In the game, Alice is about to take her top off, and then she stops because Brenda has to go close her cabin window. But before Brenda leaves, she delivers a line to Alice and say, "We're gonna finish this game just when it was getting interesting," basically referencing that like she wanted to see Alice naked and take off her top. So that's queer. She wanted to see her. So that's just one scene there. There's other queer-coded scenes throughout the movie. Again, you have all these adults embracing their youth, their bodies, and wanting to see each other naked. They're having sex. And then you have Miss Voorhees punishing them for that and killing them throughout the movie. You know, so fellow queers relate to this film and are reading this movie as symbolism for whenever they try to navigate their sexuality, they get punished for it. Some are also seeing this film as an allegory for the AIDS epidemic in the 80s, because that's when this movie came out. Again, you have young adults getting punished and killed for having sex, and so many gay men felt that fear in the 80s that if they acted on their desires, they're going to die and get AIDS. So in a way, queer people visualize Jason or Mrs. Voorhees as AIDS killing people for having sex. And also, you look at Mrs. Voorhees, she's overly theatrical in her expression. She's like an actress. She's a fucking Oscar winning actress. She's campy as fuck. She wears that lumpy blue sweater with the short hair. She has strong upper body strength. She could toss bitches through a window. Baby, that's a butch queen.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a butch queen.
100%.
She also says she was the cook at the camp, the lunch lady. So there's this common narrative in media that lunch ladies are queer, that they're lesbians.
Butch queens,
exactly.
Yeah.
So there's that.
30 seconds.
There's also an absent father. There's no father, you know, between Jason and his mom. So the theme of absent fathers is definitely a narrative that us queers can relate to.
Yes.
Mrs. Voorhees is also overbearing with her son Jason, so there's mommy issues in there as well. Alice is
you're done.
Oh, fuck. Alice is gay too.
Oh, wow. So you added that. Okay, so 2 minutes on the clock to discuss. Go. I don't specifically think the men are queer. I didn't really get the gay subtext from the men, but the women, however, I was getting strong lesbian butch energy for sure.
Right.
Because I was like, wait, how are you? I mean, I know this is a movie and it's fantasy, whatever, but how does a woman fucking kill people? And she's so strong.
Yeah.
She's a fucking butch queen.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely got a lot of butch vibes from a lot of the people, especially Alice. She's wearing flannels, short hair. She's fucking fixing the roofs and shit. You know, that just plays into the stereotype of, you know, lesbians and their butch and stuff like that. So it's definitely stereotypical and all that stuff. But I want to say, though, you said you don't agree with the men being gay. I'm not necessarily saying that they're gay, but I'm saying, like, when we see, like, them, you know, walking around with their shorts off, cutting the wood, seeing Kevin Bacon's dick, I'm saying, like, that's for us. It's queer in that sense.
I see.
It's,
I thought you meant him wearing the clothes makes him queer.
No, I'm saying, like, a lot of people think that, like, in order for things to be queer, like, you need to see them making out and stuff like that. But, like, when you see these things, it's definitely queer coded and it's for queer people when they do that. What do they call it? Queer baiting and shit like that?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah, I did get the part where you were like, where she walked out and she was like, oh yeah, we're going to... Mm-hmm. Actually, no, I didn't get it. But then when you talked about it, I was like,
oh. Yeah, she's like, oh, just when it was getting interesting because the girl is taking off her top.
Dude, that would have been interesting to see them both make out.
Yeah, of course. And even later on in the franchise, Friday the 13th becomes more gay. There's a lot more queer characters. I think in Jason Goes to Hell, like Jason goes to hell and he's shaving a naked man's back and all this stuff.
I
so
watch that.
Yeah, it's definitely queer.
So queer is in every horror movie.
Yeah, yes, in some
Mama
way.
God. In some way, yeah.
In some way, for sure.
Alrighty. Okay, so that was the last movie.
Yeah, how do you feel?
I like this. Well, maybe I like doing the costumes too.
Yeah.
But no, it's really fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what... It makes it so fun to research. At first, I had you research it. But yeah. When I was sitting there myself, having the movie in the back and then researching, it's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
I hate reading. I hate doing homework. I hate researching. But when it comes to something that I love, yeah, like horror movies, it's actually really nice to sit there and like, wow. Mm-hmm. And like really, really ingest it and be like, oh, fuck.
And with some characters, I don't think we're confirming that they're gay. Not all of them. I think we're simply saying that with the subtext and the queer coding, it could be possible. And just the homoeroticism, the, you know, what's said between the lines and under the surface, that's what we're dissecting here.
Yeah.
Like I said, a lot of people think that like, oh no, you're fucking delusional because they never said he was gay. I'm like, yeah, well, gay people never say out loud that they're gay. We live in this coded, you know, reality where we act a certain way and we say things a certain way. Mm-hmm. So we're never, gay people aren't just coming out here and say, hi, I'm gay and I'm going to kiss you. Like, no, they're not going to have that in the movies, but there's like little underlying messages that could, you know, hey, maybe make you think like maybe they are queer, maybe this is queer.
Well, yeah, because yeah, like you said, back then and when the movie was made, mm-hmm, gays weren't accepted as much, so yeah, we had to hide
exactly
ourselves in the movie.
You have to
kind of get the message across. Yeah,
exactly. You have to hide it, you have to, you know, make it a little gay, make it a little queer for people. When you see like these naked men and stuff like that, like, oh hey, this is for the gay boys out there, you know, who enjoy this.
Yeah. I hope, you know, the heterosexuals listen to this and don't want to go watch horror movies. So the movie theater is not packed anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. But this was really fun. Again, I wish we didn't have to queer code as queer artists and yeah, artists in general.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. But, you know, I think we're heading down a good path where we're starting to see more queer iconography in mm-hmm our movies and just out and proud people. So I think a lot of these movies that we discussed, they started off like under the surface and kind of subtle
yeah
in their queer themes. But like even Carrie, when they remade it, that director, she's a lesbian. She identifies as genderqueer, and she directed Carrie and she made it more overtly queer in the remake. So yeah, as I'm saying, these themes are there and under the surface, and then when they remake them as times evolves, they become more
obvious.
Over, yeah, obvious that they're queer. Anyways, this was fun. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was really, really fun. Thank you for coming on.
Uh-huh. Always, anytime.
I love you so much.
And I love you
when
too.
When you love something I love so deeply, like horror movies,
uh-huh,
it makes me so excited.
Yeah, I love horror. I'm very critical of it because I love it so much.
Yeah.
I grew up on horror and I love it so much. It could be so many different things for so many different people, an escape.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love everything that it stands for. And I love that it, you know, you could do anything you want in horror. And that's that's what's so gay about it, is like you can do anything.
1000%.
Anything. Yeah. You can fucking write a movie about a killer toaster and someone would watch it.
Oh yeah, like the killer pants.
Yeah,
that movie was actually pretty interesting.
That one was good about the killer pants.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was funny. But anyways.
Anyways. Okay, well, thank you guys for joining us for part one and part two. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think of the 10 movies. If you think they're queer, if not, if you think we're delusional.
Yeah.
I would love to hear your comments.
Uh-huh.
Also, if you're going to read me about my costumes, don't, because I already read myself.
Yeah, there's nothing you can say that you haven't already told yourself.
Yeah, so I really don't give a fuck. Anyways, okay, well, bye.
Bye.